I feel like if someone is searching for an answer, they deserve help. Like, they deserve someone to say, hey, I got you.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome back. This is your host, Joel Schroeder. I've got Cam Adair in the house. Cam, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yes, I am.
Cam is an amazing human being who I've had the pleasure of knowing for several years. He is the founder of Game Quitters, the world's largest support community for video game addiction. Beyond that, he's also a motivational speaker, travels all around the world, especially in the college circuit, sharing his message on how we can harness adversity that we face to ultimately fuel us for growth, connection, and purpose. He's had two TEDx talks and given talks all over the place. Cam, so excited to have you join us on this segment. Welcome to the summit. Fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And I guess for me, I'm Canadian. I have a YouTube channel. And for me, I really believe that we have all gone through an experience in our life that has the opportunity to impact millions of people around the world. But for us, the experience we've gone through feels very isolating, whether it's mental health or depression or anxiety or just any other unique experience. It feels very isolating to ourselves. And so by us actually stepping out to share that, we have the power to impact millions of people around the world. And I just tried to be an example of that myself. So to fill in a few gaps, I'm Canadian. I live in California now. I love to surf. I love to DJ. I love to travel. I love to be like a nomad. And I love to hang out with you, Jules.
Awesome. Yeah, Cam is quite an interesting human being. One thing that I really love about you is your ability to lead with your vulnerability. And I know growing up in high school, you had past of bullying and just using that to fuel, you know, TED Talk number one, gaming addiction, TED Talk number two. And so I'd love for you to take us back to what it was like for you. You know, if we were a fly on the wall, seeing you in middle school, high school, you know, even the start of college, what we would have seen.
So for me, I felt very confused because I lived in this kind of paradox where internally I felt so capable and so sure that I had an opportunity to really be successful and to really be able to make an impact in the world. But yet at school and on my hockey teams, I was being bullied a lot. And so an example of that was every day at lunch hour in the eighth grade, kids in the ninth grade would chase me around trying to put me in a garbage can. And they never successfully did it because I would kick and scream and squirm and do everything in my power to ensure it didn't happen. Because if it did, I would be humiliated. And it was just a weird experience. Like, even talking about it now, I feel weird because it was like I was in the popular group of kids. I was on the hockey team. I was smart. You know, I thought like a cool kid. But then I was the one that was picked on. Yeah. And so I just felt like I didn't understand why I wasn't accepted. I didn't understand why all this was happening. And it took me a long time, actually, before I kind of came to the realization that, like, there wasn't maybe a specific reason why it was me. It just was me. And this was something I went through in my life that has now allowed me to be able to share that with millions of other people around the world to help them feel less alone. And for them to feel like their story can have an impact as well. So it was just a very confusing time. And I think that's very common for many people to feel confused about why they're going through certain experiences.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate how you have these experiences, like whether it's the bullying or the video gaming thing, which we'll talk about a little bit. And you allowed yourself to use that as fuel, you know, for you to create companies, to be in entrepreneurship, but ultimately to connect with people and give other people permission in a lot of ways. And so at what point did that become clear to you where it was like less about, wow, that was a really intense thing. And maybe there's like pain or trauma still there. And then to like, well, I could actually use that to, you know, become a tool for other people.
So it was when I shared my story online in an article called How to Quit Playing Video Games Forever. And I shared that article because when I searched for help online around video game addiction, there just wasn't anything. And the only advice there was advice that you know doesn't work, like to study more when the whole reason you're playing video games is to avoid studying, or to go hang out with your friends when all your friends are gamers. And so when I read that that was the advice, I knew that if someone was genuinely searching for an answer to that problem, they were not going to be able to get help. And I feel like if someone is searching for an answer, they deserve help. Like, they deserve someone to say, hey, I got you. So I shared my article and it just blew up. So every day I was getting comments from kids as young as 10, 11, 12, all the way up to 50 plus and everything in between. But it was like the 10 and 12 year olds that really spoke to me. So just imagine you're 12 years old. You're searching online for help and you read a 6-page article and then you leave a 1,000-word essay. Yet at school, your teacher couldn't even get you to write, you know, a paragraph of your homework. And you're 12. And when I see 12-year-olds now in person, I'm like, wait, you're emailing me? Like, you were so small and young. And I realized that, you know, they resonated with my story and they felt like they were able to help improve their own lives. And so I started to feel like it was a responsibility for me to move forward and to actually use my skills in marketing and sales and online marketing and just the ability to be a leader and to be vulnerable, to actually be able to help all these people, because no one else was going to do it. And it's urgent to do it without waiting for some professional organization to try to solve this problem.
Yeah, totally. So when you were, you know, in your own relationship or battle or however you want to call it with video games, how old were you at the time?
So I started gaming when I was like 11 years old. And I think it really became a problem in middle school, high school. And then I dropped out of high school for the second time in the 12th grade. And for like 2 years after that, between I guess like 17 and 19, that's when it was really the worst it ever was, where I was lying to my parents and pretending to have jobs. I was super depressed to the point where I actually wrote a suicide note. You know, I was completely isolated, gaming 16 hours a day. That's really where it became a really big problem. But before that, for a few years in, you know, middle school and high school, it was also having a big impact by me like skipping class and eventually dropping out.
Yeah. So there you are, you know, like lying to your parents, pretending to have jobs, 16 plus hours a day. How did you have a wake up call, or what was it that finally was like, okay, was it writing the article? Or I imagine there maybe was a few steps before then, but how were you able to kind of pop out of that for a little bit to get some access?
The point where I decided to change, there's two of them. And so the first one was when I wrote a suicide note. And that came from, as much as gaming allowed me to escape my depression, it didn't actually fix it. And so eventually I wrote a suicide note and planned it all out. And that night, what happened was I ended up going to see the movie Superbad with a couple friends. They invited me to go see it. And we smoked a bunch of pot and we watched the movie. And I was like smiling and laughing and having a good time. And that kind of shook me out of this depressed state I was in, to make me kind of see like, wow, this night I was planning to like literally end my life. And I no longer felt safe with myself. I no longer felt like I could put my health and well-being as a priority. So that night I asked my father to help me find a counselor and start to seek professional support. Now that night is important to me because if I wasn't going to end my life, then I had to do the complete opposite, which was to truly live it to the fullest, to truly try to make something of myself. And so that put me on that path. Now, 2 years later, I relapsed back into gaming. And I was gaming 16 hours a day once again for 5 months straight. And it was during that relapse that I realized there was something else going on, because I had just gone from not gaming for 2 years to literally gaming 16 hours a day overnight. And so why did that happen? And through that experience, I really committed to truly living my life to the fullest, but permanently, and not falling back into bad habits again.
Yeah. Goosebumps as you were telling that story. Did you ever end up going to college, graduating high school? If so or not so, when did entrepreneurship kind of make its infusion into your life?
So I came close to finishing high school. I went back at one point to finish a couple classes, and I finished one class and then I had one remaining class, and I walked in on the first day and the teacher had assigned seating. And no cell phones in class. And a couple of people were late for class, and he like locked them out of the room and then berated them in front of the class when they came in. And for me, I always had this thing of like, with teachers. I just felt like a lot of teachers were like not very good at their job. And so when I saw him do that, I knew that there was no way I was going to get through a semester with this guy. And so I left and never looked back. And at the time I had my own business. So I guess it started when I was about 20. After getting professional support, I committed to, the only goal I had at the time was to really try to improve my social skills. I was bullied a lot growing up and I didn't understand why. And I wanted more control over that area of my life. So I started to go out and try to improve my social skills. And about a year later, I had been organizing meetups. So every Thursday, if you want to improve your social skills, come meet up with us and we'll all go out together and support each other. We'd meet up at like a pub on a Thursday.
Sounds awesome.
And so originally it was like, there were only a couple of us, like two or three of us. But a year later, there were 30 of us meeting up every Thursday. So as a woman, just imagine this crew of 30 dudes walk into a bar and they're all there to improve their social skills. So kind of like, it got a bit too big. But what happened was at the end of that year, people started asking me to support them because they saw that I had improved and I was kind of the leader of the group. And so they started asking me to help coach them. And so that's when I started to launch my own business and try to pursue that path. For me, it was like, I worked a job at H&M for a year, which was a deal I made with my counselor. And exactly 1 year after starting, I quit. And for me, it was just like, I wanted the freedom and flexibility to do whatever I wanted. I didn't want to have to ask for permission to take the weekend off. If I wanted to be spontaneous and go out to the mountains or to go on a road trip, I didn't want to have to call up my boss and be like, hey, dude, is it totally cool for me to do this? Because I was never about asking for permission. If I was making that call, it was like, yo, dude, I'm taking the weekend off. Like, sorry. And I didn't like the idea of someone else telling me what I could or could not do. So I knew I had to be my own boss. And I imagine a lot of people watching this also have that desire to be their own boss or to have freedom, right? It's not necessarily about being your own boss, but it's about freedom. And freedom is a super, super high value of mine, one of my top three values. And so for me, it's just about how do you align your behavior with your goals and your values? And that's where I have found a lot of like fulfillment and success in my life.
Yeah. You know, I like that you shared, you know, you looked at something you were wanting, which was improving your social skills, and kind of by your own necessity created something, which I imagine at the time you probably didn't think like starting that meetup was going to like grow into a full-blown coaching business. And so for those, you know, looking to get started on stuff, I think there's like easy actions that we literally, anyone hearing this, you could take like right when you get out, and that might set you on your path. And so in your own experience, like, what do you have to say about that? About people that are wanting to get started and it's kind of this big thing of where and first step, and sometimes the first step is the big step. It's like, it can be a lot. And so in your own way of transitioning into entrepreneurship, how might you pave the way or recommend for those that are in that position right now?
So the number one thing that I recommend is to launch a project. So for me, a project is about having structure and accountability and being able to develop your skills. Because for me, it took me a number of years, like 5 or 6, 7 years of being my own boss before I actually learned what it was I truly wanted to do, which was to launch a community around video game addiction, because I had an opportunity to really support millions of people through that. But when I learned that, I had 7 years of skill development in online marketing and business and entrepreneurship and leadership and my own personal development that helped me be able to do that very quickly. So I'm a firm believer in launching a project, because a project gives you accountability to actually develop your skills. So maybe that's building a website. Maybe that's getting a website contract with a friend. Maybe that's hosting a meetup once a week around a topic that you're really interested in. But as you provide more value to other people in the subject matter that you're interested in, and as you start to take action, that builds momentum. And it's through momentum that you're going to start to have different ideas of like, oh, this is kind of what I like, but I actually want it to be more like this. Or this is kind of what I like, but I actually want it to be more like that. From coaching, for me, I realized I didn't just want to have a couple clients and coach. I want to create something much bigger than myself that could literally impact 10 million people in 3 years. So I had to come up with many other creative ideas to actually do that, other than just having a couple coaching clients, right? And so having a specific project, I think is crucial. As a DJ, I launched a podcast. I had a podcast episode to put out every single month. And that helped me develop my skills in DJing because I actually had to work on that. But if I was just like, oh, I want to be a DJ, but I didn't have a project, I had no purpose or structure around how to actually improve that. So what's the skill you want to develop and how can you launch a project around it? Fundraising was a skill I wanted to develop. So I launched a project to go to Tanzania in October. I had to raise $5,000. I had never fundraised before. I had no idea how to do that. But in doing so, I learned more about fundraising. And now I'm like, okay, cool. How could I do a Kickstarter to raise $50,000? Right? So I think a project is one of the best ways to do it.
Yeah. I love that you're using that term. I call them games for myself, mm-hmm. but I see myself do this all the time. It was like, oh, I want to learn about live events. And I just had a dream to go to Bali. Let's do it in 2.5 months, launch a project, online summits. Let's figure it out. Let's do it in a month. And here we are. So super, super helpful stuff. So taking that a step further from like project into cash, right? Or monetization and actually being able to figure out that component, how have you in your own journey been able to navigate that? And what could you offer for those here that need to obviously figure that component out with it?
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to money, there's a lot of different stuff that comes up. You know, I see different phases of entrepreneurship that people go through. You know, one of them is not wanting to charge for your services, right? So it's like, you know, I just saw it in one of the groups I'm a part of, someone had a mission of being able to have their first paid photography gig. And it kind of stumbled into their lap. But then they were constantly being like, no, I'll do it for free. I'll do it for free. I'll do it for free. And so that's a phase that people go through where it's, you want to do all your work for free. You don't actually want to get paid for it. Now, what I did was I started out charging $500 for a 3-day program on the weekends, which was actually very low overall. But as we got comfortable with that, we started raising it. So we went to 600 because 200 a day for 3 days made sense. And then as we got comfortable, we went to 900 because 300 a day for 3 days made sense. And then we just kept going up and up and up until we eventually stumbled upon 1500, which is where we ended up. So I think when it comes to charging, it's just start low, start charging something that you feel comfortable with at the time. And then as you become comfortable selling at that point, then you can start raising your prices. Because if you raise it to say, you know, like 1,000 and someone is kind of giving you objections around it, you know that you're comfortable going back down to the other price. But as you get more comfortable, you'll be able to raise your prices. So I think that's like one, you have to get charged for your services. It's something like, there's no easy answer, but even if you're getting paid something low, at least it's something, and then you'll become more comfortable with the value that you're providing.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome advice. So I want to go back to your speaking a little bit, which I know your TEDx talk that you gave on video game addiction has over 400,000 views, and you know, obviously you've built the whole community around that. But I think even for those listening that haven't suffered, obviously, with specifically video gaming addiction, there's a lot of value in the talk and in the message. And so I'm curious if you could expand that out beyond gaming addiction for those listening, what they could kind of take away from some of the stuff.
Absolutely. So ultimately, video game addiction is just a topic, but the message is really about aligning your behavior with your values and goals and dreams, right? So for me, I see gaming as just the activity, but it's the needs that gaming fulfills that is causing you to game so much that it becomes an unhealthy relationship, right? So for me, I game for 4 specific reasons. Number 1, to escape. Number 2, to socially connect. Number 3, to see constant measurable growth. And number 4, to feel a challenge or what I call a sense of purpose, right? So those 4 needs were why I was gaming. But I can also find those in anything else. To escape, I went to the gym this morning. I also go to yoga. I go surfing. I DJ, right? To socially connect, I'm on a call with you right now. Right? I call my friends. I hang out with people. For constant measurable growth, any sort of skill is really good for that. So, you know, DJing or surfing or playing basketball, you know, working out, I get to see my actual progress, right? I have a YouTube channel, so I get to see how it grows over time. And sense of purpose for me, that's like having my own business. I have a very big sense of purpose behind that. So having those, I no longer feel a desire to game because I have my needs fulfilled. So ultimately what you have to think about, whether it's a bad habit you have or it's just a goal or dream that you have. How can you align why you do what you do with it, right? So if you're, say, gaming, or you're watching Netflix too much, or social media, or you have any sort of bad habit, it's fulfilling certain needs that you have. Getting really clear on identifying what those are for you, and then finding the healthier alternatives that are aligned with the vision that you have for your life. Doing that, that's ultimately where you'll find a lot of success. And that's really, in my experience, where my life transformed.
Yeah, awesome. Such good advice. So as you know, the summit is all about living your life on fire, where you wake up every single day feeling in such alignment, filled with such purpose. And so people here that are wanting that and listening to this right now, what do you have to say or offer for achieving that?
It starts one day at a time. I think one of my favorite books, and a book that is super underrated, I never see anyone else talk about it, that everyone should read who's watching this, is The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. And so the book basically just talks about the element of how compound interest aligned with personal development is really how you're going to see progress over time. And so for me, like, I'm standing here today and my life is really great and it's, you know, I'm super blessed, but people don't see that this has been going on for 9 years. I've been working at this for 9 years, you know, like everyone, even yourself, Jules, you know, for people who truly do become more successful in their life, they're working at it every single day, right? Like, I think Jules is a great example here of, you know, when did you come up with the idea for the online summit?
December 22nd.
Right. And you were just like, yo, this is an idea I have, and I'm going to take action. I'm going to take massive action. I'm going to do it. And from it, you're going to learn a whole bunch about yourself, create different opportunities. And you're a great example of the type of mindset and the type of strategy that a lot of people who tend to be quote unquote more successful tend to implement, right? You had an idea and you were like, let's go. Right. And everyone watching this has those ideas, and everyone watching this has the same opportunity to actually do it. Just the difference is you did it, and maybe people watching this video aren't doing it. Right. And so what I believe in is trying to do a little bit every single day and allowing those little things compound over time. For me, I'm just at year 9. Right. And so if you're watching this and you're at the beginning, that's all right. But what you do today matters, because that's what you're like, that compounds into tomorrow and next week and next year. And it's all adding up, right? So how can you do something like today and tomorrow and just a little bit at a time? That's what I really believe in.
Yeah, nice. And thanks for the love, Cam.
Jules. Everyone should be loving on Jules. Like, you guys don't understand. Like, I've seen Jules do this multiple times where she has this idea and she just takes massive action. And it's such a good example for people watching this that, like, you don't have to be, like, you can do whatever you want if you decide that you're going to actually take action and do it, right? And the difference is Jules is just a really great example of someone who does that. And now she creates so many different opportunities for herself. So, like, I firmly believe in leading by example. And I think Jules is a really good example. You didn't pay me to say that.
So awesome. So, Cam, I was having a moment as you were talking that you're, you know, you're an international, you do a lot of speaking. And it just hit me that you started, you know, a group because you wanted to improve your social skills. And here, like, the work you're doing in the world and how you're making money, you know, is often through speaking. And so I think it's just interesting to highlight, like, what's possible in taking action from, like, wow, this is actually something where I was bullied and really didn't understand why, to, like, I want to inquire about it, to, like, wow, this is how I'm living out in the world. And so my last question for you before we move into the rapid fire round is around sharing your story and being able to do it in a way that resonates and that, you know, lands with people. And you've done, you know, 2 TEDx talks, you've given talks. How many talks have you probably given over your lifetime?
I don't know, but I got to speak in Tanzania recently to a group of college students, you know, I mean, there's so many stories. I had a panic attack in front of a group of 8th graders. I've never seen such terror in my life. You know, like, I've had the honor of speaking in a lot of different places. And, you know, the thing that people don't understand is with TEDx Boulder, that was my first talk ever, right? So I spoke on stage at TEDx Boulder in front of 2,300 people in a sold-out auditorium theater. And that was my very first talk ever. And of course, I was terrified. I was super anxious, all of it. But for me, I saw it as like, if I do this, then anything below 2,300 people, no problem. Right. And it's just one of those moments where it's like, there's a point of no return. You just have to go and do it. And a lot of people also don't know that I bombed that talk on some level. Like, were you there, Jules?
I wasn't there for that talk, but I did watch it. Yeah.
So there's a part of that that people don't know, which is that I blanked out twice on stage. So twice on stage, I was like giving my talk and then I completely forgot what I was supposed to say. And so the first time I felt like the entire weight of the room, like if you've never had 2,300 people all staring at you being like, what's this dude doing? That's how I felt. And so the first time it happened, I was like speaking. And then I completely forgot what I was supposed to say. And so I just stood there and I felt the weight of the room and they started cheering. And I just said like, oops, I forgot my line. They laughed and I like kept going. But the second time it was like the audience had given me a shot, right? A second chance. Like you messed up once, but like now, like we're not too happy with you. 2,300 people staring at you while you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to say. And am I allowed to swear on this? I just said like, well, like, fuck it. I guess like, what did I say? I said, well, looks like I fucked that up again. Right. Audience laughed and I just kept going. But for me, it's like, you don't see that in the video. What you see is me speaking in front of 2,300 people, but you don't know that that was my first talk ever where I was terrified. I was like completely anxious, having panic attacks. And you don't see that I actually blanked out twice on stage. It's edited out, right? And so you see that talk, you think, wow, that's amazing. But you don't see that like it actually wasn't that perfect.
Yeah, totally. So I like this perfection side of things a little bit because I think it can hold a lot of us back is wanting things to be perfect. And I think when I talk to anyone that's like, I can't take action like you, Jules, because I just don't have it figured out. It's like, I make it up as I go along, but there is a barrier in relationship to perfection. And so how have you done that? How have you evolved that relationship? Or do you see it as an integral piece of the success that you've had?
So I love that question because it ties back to the story I was just sharing. So after I blanked out twice on stage, I was like really upset at myself. All I wanted to do was like kill it and nail it. I worked like 12 hours a day screaming at my wall trying to memorize it to ensure that I did a good job. My biggest fear from that talk was like blanking out on stage, and then it happened twice. And so after that talk, I remember I went into the audience and I just sat by myself and I was like, I hope no one sees me, like this is so embarrassing, right? And what happened was so many people came up to me afterwards and said like, yo, thank you so much for sharing and thank you so much for how you responded to those events, because it allowed us to connect with you more, because it showed that you were one of us. Like you weren't some like expert speaker, super smart person. You were just like, it was like taking a member of the audience and putting them on stage and having them talk, right? And so it was raw and it was real and it was authentic. And when I was messing up, I didn't hide the fact that I was messing up. I just owned it, right? I was like, yep, well, this is happening. So like, that's embarrassing. And for me, I think it was such a big lesson, because when we want to be perfect, what we're forgetting is that no one is perfect. And so if you actually want to connect with people, then embracing that vulnerability or embracing those imperfections is how you actually do it, right? In Tanzania, I spoke at a group of college students and I asked them like, okay, you know, who in this audience right now has ever felt anxious, right? Every hand is up, right? Like every person watching this video, like your hand is up. And then I said, okay, who in here, when you have felt anxious, felt like you were the only person in the world who feels anxious? Of course, like everyone's hand is up again, right? Because when you feel anxious, you feel like you're the only person in the world. It's very isolating. But yet, every person in that room felt anxious and could relate to that and could resonate with that, right? And so the more we embrace the imperfections in our own life, the more we're actually able to connect with other people. And it's through that connection that we can actually have transformation, because we have rapport. But when we try to be perfect, we're actually creating a disconnect between us and our audience, or us and our customers. And so I think for me, it's like, do you want to connect with people? Do you want results? Or do you want to feel like you're perfect just to protect your ego? And the answer to that question is going to dictate ultimately the results that you get.
So good. All right. One more follow-up question on that before the rapid fire round. So I imagine with your business, with gaming addiction, segmenting off this perfection conversation, like for someone hearing that, that's like, Cam, yeah, I want that. Like, I want to be able to communicate it in that way, lead with that. How should they start? Like, where should they begin in that? Especially if they want to build a business or work that into what they're doing, you know, in their 9-to-5 or in their entrepreneurship.
It's a really great question. So I think number one, share your story. So whether that's in a Medium article, whether it's on a video on Facebook or YouTube, just start sharing your story. Last night I saw my friend Monique Benabou, who's this amazing musician, share the story on Facebook Live about her experience being in an abusive relationship. And as she said, she allowed it to happen. And right now, 24 hours later, has 4,000 plus views, right? Just from friends being so inspired to share it and commenting. And for her, she just was like, you know what? I'm just going to share this on Facebook Live today. And so step one is start sharing your story, because that allows other people who feel similar to find you. When I shared my story, people started searching how to quit playing video games into Google and finding the article and then leaving 1,000-word essays about their own story, which then allowed me to say, okay, like, this could be a YouTube channel, or this could be an online support community. Like, it allowed me to then expand to, okay, all these people are seeking support. How can I support them now? Right? One of the top questions they have is, what else will they do with their time? So I created a guide with just 60 plus different hobby ideas to actually help them with that. Right? And now YouTube, there's like 118 videos answering every question I've seen, whether it's like how to deal with your gamer friends or how to deal with cravings and so on and so forth. So just start by sharing your story. And then from that point, as you connect with more people who are in a similar position as you, see what questions they have and start answering those and creating content. And over time, that's how it'll blossom into something.
Yeah. Awesome. So good. All right. Rapid fire round. Last segment. Here's your random questions. All right, here we go. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I'm more anxious every day than you would ever imagine.
Next question. What is one practice or habit that you do daily that you feel sets you up for success?
As much sleep as I can.
Next question. What is one thing in your life that you're really proud of?
That I haven't quit.
Nice. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 20-year-old self, look him in the eye, give him a piece of advice, what would you say to him?
I wish I would have got over my ego that I had to be the one to figure everything out, instead of leaning on whether it was books or seminars or mentors and really trying to learn from other people. That wasn't until I was like 23, 24 that I finally let go of that attachment and started to embrace help from other people.
Next question. Being an entrepreneur is what?
Being an entrepreneur is being creative. And so my dad's an entrepreneur, and, you know, I've seen him raise like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And the only difference between the problems that he has and the problems that I have are just the number of zeros behind the name. And so the biggest thing he taught me was that a business or entrepreneurship is just about finding creative solutions to creative problems.
Awesome. I love that. Last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
Living for you and nobody else. Living in alignment with what you desire and what your dreams and visions are, and not doing something because someone else thinks you should, whether that's friends or family or society. Just doing you and not making any apologies about it.
Yeah, amazing. Unconventional life, family, Cam, Adair, everyone. Cam, tell us about the giveaway that you have for one of our listeners.
Yeah, so one of the listeners of people who are watching this, I'll hop on a call with you, a 1-hour call. We'll talk about any challenge that you're having right now, whether it's relationships or business or living an unconventional life. I have a lot of experience with that. So I'd love to support you. So one lucky person will get the chance to help on a call with me.
Yeah, amazing. Details will be right below on this page. You can also head over to unconventionallifeshow.com. And Cam has also been able to work with visas, which has been incredible. So he got a visa here in the States from Canada. So good stuff there around. And Cam, for those that want to learn about the video game addiction community, learn more about you, follow what you're up to, stay in touch, how should they do all that?
So gamequitters.com, GameQuitters on YouTube. You can also go to CameronDare.com and all my social medias there, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter. One big thing I'm all about is that I answer every email and comment I get. So even on my TEDx videos, you can see I've been answering comments for like 3+ years. And so I always answer every comment, every question I get. So reach out. Love to hear from you.
Love that. All right, Cam, thank you so much for joining us on this segment, Unconventional Life Family. We'll talk to you guys soon.